To a new year of Shmuel. My ambition this year is for us to wrap up Shmuel Aleph. I believe that it is very doable, and the chapters work as a unit. We're up to chapter 27. David is on the run, but more relevant for the rest of Shmuel Aleph is that Shaul is really in decline at this point. We're going to recap chapter 26, so don't worry for those who, you know, are like, I remember we did something involving David and Shaul, but I don't remember what. We're going to do the recap, so not to worry. But basically what we're going to see going ahead, chapters 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, is the final deterioration of Shaul. In chapter 27, we're going to be focused on David and what David does. When he doesn't trust Shaul, he doesn't faith. He goes over to the Plishtim, the Philistines, as we'll talk about. Then in chapter 28, we get Shaul and the famous story, I think it's a well-known story, of the Ov, also known as a witch, people like to call her, of Ein Dor. And then the war with the Plishtim, the war with the Philistines, which is already there in chapter 28, consumes the rest of the book, culminating in the death of Shaul, as well as Yehonasan, in chapter 31. So it's going to be a depressing year in terms of Shmuel. I'm sorry to say, but that's just the way it is. It's a real downer. But nonetheless, it's Torah, and we're going to learn it, and God willing, we'll get some good lessons out of it. Just because a few people joined in the last couple of minutes, I just want to remind everybody about Tishrei in a Day, coming up on Sunday in person at Yeshivat Or Chaim in our Beit Midrash, a free program, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Come for one class for 30 minutes, come for all of them, whatever you like. There's even a free pizza lunch, so really something for everybody. I'm putting the link in the chat for the website where you can see it, all the classes, and register. We do want people to register because we want to make sure the space works. And of course, if you're coming for lunch, we want to make sure there's food for you. So please make sure to register, and I would love to see you there. The classes will be by the members of my Beit Midrash, with special guest classes by Rabbi Seth Grauer, Rabbi Moshe Yaris, Mrs. Sharon Fixler, and Rabbi Aaron Greenberg. So it's going to cover everything from Elul through Shmini Atzeret Simchas Torah, the whole gamut of Tishrei. I wanted to begin with a review of Perek Chavav of chapter 26. When we finished last year at the end of June, beginning of July, no, it was already beginning mid-July, we didn't have the time to actually go through the review questions, and I thought that's actually good because then we can do it now. So if you take a look at the top of your sheet, a quick 10 questions. It was a pretty fast-moving chapter. This was the second time that David had Shaul at his mercy, right? The first time was in the cave, and he cut the corner of Shaul's cloak. And the second time here, Shaul is in his military camp, and he's sleeping, and they're all sleeping, and David goes in and takes the pitcher of water and takes the spear that had been next to Shaul's head and uses that to demonstrate what he could have done. So the story began after chapter 25. Remember in chapter 25, David was down south in Midbar Paran and he was helping Nabal and his shepherds. But now David moves back to the area of Ziph, which was kind of surprising because Ziph was not a friendly place for David, right? Ziph had turned him in chapter 24. So why did David move from Paran to Ziph? What's the motivating factor here? Anybody remember? I looked over my notes, so for me it's cheating. This is a hard one. So the Malbim said it was because Shaul was very angry when David married Abigail and Ahinoam. David marrying more women in addition to Michal gave Shaul another reason to be angry at David, and therefore David moved, even though he's going to a place that's not exactly safe for him. It's actually closer to Shaul as well. We saw that David, when he hears that Shaul's men are there and he sees the military camp, asks two people to join him to enter the camp. The one who joins him is Avishai ben Tsruya. He accompanies David. So my question here for you is, what do we know about Avishai ben Tsruya, who goes along with David? What can you tell me about Avishai? He's a very important figure. Sorry, Claudette, what?
He's a relative of David?
Yes, he is. He's David's nephew. Tsruya is David's sister. What else?
We talked about his being hot-blooded.
Yes, he is a fiery person. We see that right in this story, and then we'll see it in future stories as well. Who is his brother? He has two brothers, but I'll take either one.
Avner and the runner, or whatever his name.
Close. Not Avner. Avner's victim.
No, not
Avner. Asael?
Yoav and Asael.
Right. Yoav and Asael. Asael will be killed by Avner. And General Yoav, who is a fiery warrior in his own right. Avishai and Yoav will be warriors for David. Asael will be until he's killed. The Gemara describes him as equal to the majority of the Sanhedrin, interestingly. So that fits with a trend we already saw last year when we talked about Doeg and others, of seeing the military figures and people who held positions of power as also being religious leaders. But Avishai is a fiery warrior and relative of David. Avishai offers to David that he is willing to attack Shaul, even though David had the opportunity to harm Shaul back in chapter 24 and refused to do so. So our question that we looked at in chapter 26 was, why does Avishai think David is going to go along with it this time when he didn't the first time? We gave a couple of reasons. So one reason was his willingness to attack Nabal. Right? One reason was the fact that in chapter 25, David was willing to go on the rampage against Nabal indicates that David is capable of violence, and maybe he'll do it this time, number one. Number two, seeing that Shaul is asleep convinces Avishai that God has arranged the opportunity, and he thinks David will respond to that. And that, see that in Avishai's language. David, nonetheless, is not interested in that. David goes in, he takes the weapon, he takes the water, and he leaves. And then he calls out to Avner, right? You can follow along within the chapter. I haven't been doing, you know, kind of a verse-by-verse thing here. But if you go back to chapter 26, sentence 14, David calls out and he says specifically, "Halo sa'ane Avner, won't you say anything, Avner?" Why does David call out to Avner instead of calling out to Shaul?
Was the first time it was said that Abner thought that David didn't do what he did in the first, when he cut the colt?
Right. So the Midrashim suggest that, and this is supported by text throughout the story of David and Shaul, that Abner is a major reason why Shaul won't make peace with David, that Abner is actually invested in keeping this fight going. And that, as Claudette just said, after David tore the corner of the cloak of Shaul, and used that as evidence, look what I could have done, Avner said, he wouldn't have been able to do anything. He didn't actually cut the corner of the cloak. He found it. It was torn. It was sitting in a bush. And so the Medrash says that David says, how did I get the water bottle? How did I get the spear? Were those also caught on the corner of a bush? So the one option is he's rebuking him for distancing Shaul from him in chapter 24. Another approach found in the Medrash is that he's mocking Avner, because in chapter 24, Avner said, "Ha, let me get my hands on him. I'll show you what I'll do to him." And David is making fun of him. He's trolling him. Like, you think you can do anything to me? Look what I got. Well, David, in his speech to Shaul, says, "You have chased me from Hashem's portion, telling me to worship foreign gods." Right? After the whole initial piece, when Shaul recognizes David's voice, when David is speaking, it's in sentence 19, He says, Hein Gershuni Hayom, you chased me out today. May istapeach benachalas Hashem, from being joined to the portion of God, le'mor le'chavod Elohim acherim, saying, go worship these foreign gods. What does David mean when he says that now he's being chased out from God's portion, being told to worship foreign gods? What exactly is that about? What does that mean?
Because he had to go to the Philistine country.
Right. So one approach is to say he's actually being forced to leave Israel. And that's the idea that the area of Aza, the area where the Plishtim are, at that stage is not recognized as Eretz Yisrael. The UN was around, and they declared, nope, this is not part of the land of Israel. And the Plishtim agreed. And we talked about this. Aza, the Plishti area, versus Canaan, the area by the Yarden. But that's the simple approach, which the Gemara seems to accept. We saw the Gemara at the end of Ksuvos about it. That's one approach. We also saw a few ideas which are certainly less well known. The Medrash and the Sifri saying that David was saying, I can't learn Torah because I'm on the run from Shaul. I want to be involved in Torah study and I can't. That's consistent with David in Tehillim, where he talks about his love for study of Torah. And here he's saying, I can't do that. Abarbanel offered two other very interesting ideas, which nobody else says, but that never stops Abarbanel. And that is either leaving the house of Shaul is leaving the Nachalat Hashem, the portion of God. Shaul is the royal family. I was forced to leave the house of Shaul, or I was forced to leave Michal. Because David did, you know, as we saw back in chapter 19, he had to leave Michal. Chana, you were going to say? Right. Well, that was the first approach, that he's leaving Israel. That's leaving the portion of God, and it's like he's worshiping Elohim Acherim, these foreign gods. You're correct. That's that Gemara at the end of Ksuvos. Right. As opposed to the Sifri, which says not learning Torah leads to Avodah Zarah, leads to idolatry. Right. Okay. Next. We asked, or I asked on the sheet anyway, why doesn't Avner recognize David's voice? Right? This is actually going backward a little bit in the chapter. I guess I'm out of order here. But back in sentence 17, Shaul recognized who David was. He said, HaKol Chazeh B'ni David. However, Avner doesn't seem to recognize the voice of David. He doesn't respond at all. Why not? Yeah, Janine.
I still see it like last year. I see it as a scornful.
Yes.
It's a rhetorical question. He doesn't not know what he is. He's mocking him.
Right. So I tend to agree with you. The Abner is not. Abner knows full well that this is David, but he's belittling David. I tend to agree. How do we know that David still doesn't trust Shaul? Right in the moment right now, I don't mean going forward, but right now he doesn't trust Shaul. What do we see in David's actions in, where is it?
He left and he went away from...
Yeah, not what happens going forward. I'm looking at sentence 22, right here in the chapter. He returns the spear, but he won't bring it. He says, let one of the youths come and take it. He doesn't trust Shaul to walk over to him and give him the spear. Shaul apologizes to David, right? Shaul apologizes in this chapter. If you look at sentence 21, he says, Chatasi, I sinned, which of course reminded us of chapter 15. He apologizes to David. I suppose this one is also out of order. We have to do a better job of my orders here. But he says, I sinned. And he says, Shuv b'ni David, come back, my son David. Ki lo aralecha od. I'm not going to harm you again. Right? You see that. You are so precious to me and so on. What does Shaul say here that transcends what he said in chapter 24? How is his apology here stronger? So number one, it's explicit, the apology. He says, Chatasi. Like, it's very unequivocal. Number two, it's public. The previous one, we don't know who's there outside the cave when David and Shaul are talking, but here, the whole military camp is able to hear. Also, here Shaul asks David to come back with him, which he did not do at the end of chapter 24. And finally, here, he will tell David, I know you're going to be successful. That's in sentence 25. He says, I know that you are going to succeed, meaning you're going to succeed where I did not. Broad question. What changes do we see in David? This goes back to Rabbi Bazak and Dan Isaac Abarbanel. What changes do we see in David from chapter 24 to chapter 26, which we could link with Abigail's influence? So number one, he actively tries to diffuse hostility. He initiates contact, right? Chapter 24 was unintentional. Shaul came into the cave. And he targets Avner as a way to combat the hostility. Also, he passes an even stronger test than he did there. Because there, it was about whether David would harm Shaul personally. Here, Abishai offered to do it himself. And there, David cut the cloak, and here, he didn't cut anything. What he did here was reversible. Finally, last question. Why doesn't David trust his success with Shaul? Why doesn't he believe, okay, now it's going to be different? Why not trust it? Shaul says amazing things here. He apologizes.
He's apologized before, and he didn't mean it. But he couldn't carry out what he wants.
But this apology was much more serious than the one in 24.
And Abishai is still there.
Yeah, Avner.
Right.
Right. So I think there's a lot to be said in terms of Avner being there. Avner really is such a source of trouble. You're going to see it when we get, you know, God willing, one day, Shmuel Beis.